We're in lesson 96 in the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We was breaking down what was the evil day last lesson and stuff, but you got to remember, it has nothing to do with the tribulation period over there. And if you want to be able to be ready to stand in that and withstand a day, you have to know what kind of cycles that the evil day is. And so as we go through that, you are to endure the length of that evil day. Where some of the prayer requests and some of the things we're talking about already this morning, and the fact that it does seem like we're in an evil day, don't it? And the things are going around us. But you know what? It's going to happen again tomorrow if the Lord don't tarry. If the Lord tarries. So the evil day is how you're going to endure. And that phrase that we read in that verse, "having done all to stand," means, you know what would you think of having to do all to stand? You know what it means? Just stand there. Just stand there, who you are in Christ. And you think about it, you don't have to do anything but just stand there. It's all done for you, and you stand there in the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's His faithfulness. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth." Now that's the armor we talked about. That's number one. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." That's armor number two. The verse says, "having your loins girt with what? Truth." That ain't nothing like the girdles that we put on to constrain ourselves in a figure. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's another way of saying a belt. Okay, and go to Acts chapter 21. Hold your finger there and go to Acts chapter 21, verse 11. Acts 21, verse 11. Acts 21, verse 11. "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the" who? "The Gentiles." When you read this verse, it tells you what he's doing. They took the belt, the sash, right, of Paul, and what did they do with them? That was around his robe, and that he bound it, and did what with them? Bound him. So they tied him up.
That's the girdle.
Yeah, they tied him up. That's what a girdle is. It was a belt around the waist that held that robe or clothes together that the guy was wearing. They might have tucked it up. They might have folded up, and then they put that belt on so they could run. So they could walk and they could carry on. That's the first thing that the soldier puts on, by the way. After he puts on his clothes, he fastens the belt and clenches down tight, because the belt is going to go around that robe and keep it from flopping and carrying on. We wear belts today to keep our pants on, if you will. Or some of us wear belts that not because of pants, because it's a...
Fashion
spells. When we go, when you used to truck drive and stuff, many people would wear a kidney belt. You know, that type of thing. When you weight lift and all, you put a belt on to tighten that midsection so you can go down and lift things. It's like a comfort, if you will. Look at the illustration in Luke chapter 12, if you will. Luke chapter 12. It ties everything down with the belt. And it's the first place to start. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourself liken to men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he that girth himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. The girdle is the idea of being what? Ready. See, that's what, girt yourself, and sit down and be ready. And verse 35, your loins may be girded about, and your lights burning. It has to do with getting ready and getting prepared. You're already ready to get the job done. You put the clothes on, you fold it underneath the girdle and lock them down and tuck them in and ready to go. They're ready. So the girdle will give you strength and support. If you think about it too, that's when you put that on. But go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Your loins girt about with what? Truth. The illustration there is the illustration of the role that truth is to play in the life of the soldier. Listen, truth is what Satan is going to attack. From the beginning, hath God not said. You know, and he attack it and attack it and attack it. What good would it be if Satan attack lies? They know good about it, are they? You know, you keep that stirred up, you keep that going. But it plays in the life of a soldier. And that is what Satan is after. It's plan A, as we talked about. That girdle takes care of Satan's plan A. Your life is to be under control and bound up and folded under and tucked under and clenched under by what? The girt of what? Truth. That's what we're looking at. He has always used the word truth. And there's no questions about what he's referring to. You remember back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he's talking about Jesus Christ, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of what? Truth. The gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the gospel of their salvation. What other expressions or verses can you think about the word of truth? There you go. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The issue here is the word of truth has to do with the word of God rightly divided. The gospel of your salvation. So when Paul talks about the girth, about the truth, he is talking about the special kind of truth for today. Now, what good would it do, knowing your Bible, that we understand rightly dividing the word of truth between prophets and mystery? What good would it do to girt your loins with a girt of truth of the times past truths? You know, many people do. And they're walking around with the girt. It's true. I believe my Bible. You know, that type of thing. But it has to do with today, guys. And you have to have your life all tied down and tucked in with truth for today. You got to know what's going on. And that's members of the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ, what God is doing. And you've got to be in a constant state of readiness to stand in that truth. Many of us do, many of us don't. I'm sorry to say that. It's sad, but true. We don't stand in the word of truth. We're not pulled away and drawn away and deceived easily. We're going to stand there. You got to know the truth and stand in the truth and beware it. That girdle is an illustration of that robe of truth, the truth for today in the life of the believer and how it affects and impacts your life. It's a thing that is hold on to and it holds your life together. And it gives you strength, doesn't it? And it gives you freedom. Knowing that you got the truth girded around you. And knowing that it will overcome Satan's plan and cause it, that's causing you to depart from the message and not stand in the body of truth. You with me? Having your loins girt about the truth is knowing what God is doing and knowing what the truth is today and having your life under that. Listen, many people try to knock you off of that truth today. And you got, and you know who you are in Christ, and you start to put this breastplate right, this girdle of truth on, and they'll come after you. See, and they'll attack the message. Then we found out they'll attack the messenger, that type of thing. For years, that people tried to knock myself off. They wrote things about me and Sherry in the past, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, and it hurts, don't it? But you got that girdle of truth on, and you stand in that truth. And that's all you got to do is stand there. Don't be moved. Continue in Ephesians 6:14, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate, where does that cover at? Okay, you say the heart, you say through here. The breastplate covers the upper part of your body. And it goes down to your thighs, by the way. You know, it goes down to the thighs. You say it covers the trunk of your body. And it was designed to cover the front and back, by the way. Because when you put that breastplate on, it was like a hinge. And you put your hand over it like that, and they staple right there. You had a back covering. We always talk about Jesus behind our back. You don't need, you still have something on your back. Because you ever been shot in the back by anything? BB guns, you know, sticks, walnuts, rocks, mud.
Skittles in the cafeteria.
There you go. You know, food. You know, yeah. They can't wait to hit you in the back when you turn, right? So you do have a covering back there. And that they call it a breastplate. But it also has a panel to it. That hinge is on the shoulders and your arms go through and all that stuff what we're talking about. You can see pictures of that in different books. But the breastplate. The breastplate was designed to cover from the neck down to the thighs. And it covered what kind of organs?
Kidneys, liver, heart.
What was that?
Vital organs.
Very, very important. Because you see people die with a plunge to the liver, right? You see people die with a plunge to the heart and the lungs and stuff like that. So it's vital organs that it takes care of. But it's the breastplate of righteousness. What kind of righteousness is that? We're going to talk about three of them. So, God's righteousness, His righteousness. But look, there's three kinds of righteousness that it could be. One, it could be your own personal righteousness. I'm guarding my righteousness. It's about me. But look, your self-righteousness. But what do you know about not to put on self-righteousness? What does Philippians 3:9 say? Philippians 3:9. It says, and be found in Him, not having my what? Own righteousness. So you know what it's not? It's not self-righteousness that you're going to put on. We do that good job already, don't we? Yeah. Then it could it be imputed righteousness? You've heard that term, right? Justification. When you're declared righteous before God, made the righteousness of God in Him. When you trust that Christ died for your sins and buried rose again, He imputes His righteousness to you. Okay? But think about this a minute. Imputed righteousness, it's a gift of God, isn't it? Okay? And you receive it the moment you trust Jesus Christ. But you're not in Ephesians chapter 1. You're in Ephesians chapter what? 6. So Paul is not talking to lost people here. He's talking to a saved individual that you need to stand and put this armor on. So it's not imputed righteousness. You have that. That's about salvation. That's that internal guy. In verse 10, he calls them brethren, my brethren. We're not discussing here something that has to do with to receive a free gift. It's something that you what? Put on. So twice in verse 11 and once in 13, it says that you are to put it on. You are to take it. You don't do that with imputed righteousness. You know what I'm talking about? You just don't put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off.
Yeah.
You have it on. You have it in you. Because if you do that, lost, saved. You know what I'm getting at? I don't feel saved. I must not have imputed righteousness. The Bible says you have imputed righteousness. So the third type of righteousness is it's the practical righteousness which is produced of good works in the life of a believer. That practical righteousness, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now we looked at the breastplate righteousness, and all these things have to do with Jesus Christ. Remember when we broke them down right quick? But as Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The breastplate of righteousness is something that you are capable of putting on. With me? In other words, that this righteousness is that you put on in your life. You think about putting on the new man, right? Putting on the life of good works, the life of holiness, the life of righteousness. It's a simple expression of the righteousness of Christ. Once you're in Christ, you've got all those things you can put on. But why can't you do good works? Is it any goodness on your part that you can do? Not for righteousness, is it? So, if you do good works, what's doing it? Or what should be doing it?
Christ in you.
He said, because you are God's workmanship, doing the thing that God ordained you to do. You want to do good things. Not because it's going to bring you salvation on this earth. You already got salvation. So look, Philippians 1:11 says that we are able to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and unto praise of God. Do you know where the fruits of righteousness come from?
Yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Okay. They don't come from you. We produce bad fruit, by the way.
We produce what?
Bad fruit in our own self. You know what I mean? But in Christ Jesus, you produce what? Good. There are expressions of righteousness of Christ in you and the details of your life. Your life is filled with good works, filled with fruits of righteousness. And this is capable to help you protect Satan's attempt to discredit you and the message you proclaim. This is why we just need to keep reminding ourselves, it's not me. When people reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the message. You know, Brother Roger was here right now, this would help him out a little bit because he's constantly being rejected by his family members. Some of you are too. You know, some of you may, you know, do the same thing. Just the other day, I was talking to a contractor. I found out that he was a Mennonite preacher. Okay? And I said, And I said, that's a religion, right? He goes, yeah. And we talk about Amish, stuff like that. And I told him, I said, I'm a preacher too. And he kind of lit up a little bit, you know. I said, this is what we teach, the Bible. And I know what they teach, law. And I went back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And I told him from Genesis 1-2 all the way to Acts chapter 9, the focus was the earth. They also talk about the mystery program and the prophetic program. As I started sharing the things that what was to you and what was for you, his face started dropping. Okay? And I watched him until he became stone cold. He had no knowledge what I was talking about. Now, this is a preacher. This is a minister. I know you've talked, we talked over in the past, the people you talk to, like you just can't believe they don't know this stuff. Well, You got to think, well, how far back you was too, right? How foreign this word. But I watched him, and I'm like, okay, I need to back up, right? But the thing is, if you allow him to get to you and attack your message, who are you to tell me that this, you know? And you got to watch that stuff because they'll turn on you. But the breastplate of righteousness is protection against Satan's policy and plan B. If he can get you to change the truth just one little bit, isn't that what it seems like 90% of religions does out there? Just change it just a little bit. Hath God not said, you surely won't die? Did God tell Adam and Eve, the day you will die? You won't die. Well, water it down. See, they add two. That program's been going on since the beginning, guys. So it ain't, should not, when you turn these TV evangelists on or listen to the radio, don't be fooled by that stuff because he mentioned grace. You know? He spoke of the cross. Listen, I listen to this people talk to me all the time. They got grace in their name. They must teach the same thing. No, they don't. Get their doctrinal statement. Find out where they're at. You've got to know and let the truth be in control. Not you and I in control. Hey, there's times when I'm in control and I'm an ugly guy. Ain't that right, honey? Sometimes. See?
Yesterday.
I was yesterday, yes. I was mad.
Put on the breastplate.
Put on the girdle of truth. You know, that type of thing. And if you want to be your life filled with fruits of the Spirit and fruits of righteousness, a life of good works and a life of expression, the attitude and action of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it did tell you lie. That's what we're striving to do. That's the thing we're on. Satan don't like that. We talked about the realms of the angelic creation looking down at us today. The manifold wisdom of God is being displayed in the body of Christ, local church. Imagine that, looking at a bunch of us today, and creation's like, wow, that's grace. That ain't law. And you know, we take that for granted sometimes, don't we? We really do. You know, we was talking about, you know, the situation on the course the other day, and you're like, and you acknowledge like, man, this guy just passed from, you know, could have been on his deathbed. And how grateful is that? The way no one can look at you and discredit the message that you proclaim. That's what you have to do. When you got a message of truth, now they can discredit you and I all they want to. You know what I mean? And they'll tempt that. They'll try to knock you down. Who are you to tell me? But don't give them one inkling of discredit when it comes to the message of grace and right division. You reflect your life and reality of the message that you proclaim. Titus chapter 3. And get Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 3 verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And the things I would will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? You got to be careful to maintain those good works in line with what God is doing. It's easy to probably maintain good works in what you and I are doing. Hey, I do good works to get a paycheck. I do good works to get my bosses to say, you did a good job, Dad. You know what I'm talking about? But if you got the righteousness of God on you, don't you want to do good works anyway, even in the physical realm? You don't want to give them any discredit about who you are in Christ to turn and say, huh, yeah. You know, when I'm training these guys, I said, listen, you got to let your words mean what they say. Don't try to lie about something. It'll come back and get you. Yes, it's hard that you know, had a critical event. That truck just stopped. And keeping you from rear-ending somebody because you wasn't paying attention. You was in a hurry getting home. You can't lie all that because they can pull it up on the screen and see Man, you was following that God, 3 seconds. You know what I mean? Just be honest. To say, yes, it happened. What can I do about this next time? I don't want to happen again. That could have been somebody's life. So you got to let your words mean, you got to let your works. What does it say? Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Notice why. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and what? Doctrine showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerely, sound speech that cannot be what? Condemned. Why are you in a pattern of good works? Verse 8. That he that is of the contrary part, what is that? That's somebody opposite of you, right? Mm-hmm. Opposite. Your adversary that is going to oppose you and contrary to you may be what?
Ashamed.
Why? Having no evil thing to say of what? You. Wouldn't that be awesome? Listen, when I shared before, there's people try to discredit us, discredit me, discredit ministry, discredit your family, but you know what? They had no evil things to say of me. That's where you want to be in the Word of God. You with me? Hey, you think it's too late to do that? Some of you guys are a couple years older than me. You think it's too late to do that right now?
Never.
It's never too late. Because you know what? Joe down the street corner don't even know you from Adam. The lady you was in there with sit down, prayed for you and stuff like that. What a comfort that was. You know? You could have turned to her and said, get out of my face. I don't need your prayers. I'm going to take this. You know what I'm talking about? That's not you, though. So, but the thing is, and that is what you want, guys. You want the fellow opposition to backfire, and it begins to oppose you. That begins to, when he slanders you and when he accuses you, you want your life to be such in details that the accuser won't stick. Been there, done that, got a t-shirt. Didn't stick. But rather, you do what verse 10 says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in what? Just a few things. Verse 10. In all things. Now that is the breastplate of righteousness. And you put that on in order to protect yourself against the Satanist attack on the message, or Satan's plan B. You protect yourself against the onslaught of the adversary as he would attack you based on what your conduct in your own life is. That is the breastplate of righteousness. You put that on. You know who you are in Christ. You're trying to strive. Now, when you're trying to obtain good works and trying to do good works, even in Christ Jesus, do you feel worthy sometimes? See, but in Christ, knowing who you are worthy. And it's His righteousness. And it's He obtained you the good works. And you know what? When people tries to throw them fiery darts at you, which we may not get to today, but the thing is, you can stand there and say, go ahead. Take your best shot. It ain't going to bother me. Now, I always say sticks and stones will hurt your bones, but names... Sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but names will never hurt you. You know that's a lie. You know when people call you names and stuff, you just like, wow. You know, that hurt. Because you would never expect that, right? I'd rather be hit by a stick sometime and have you, you know, say things about me. I know what a stick feels like. It goes away for a while. But name calling and stuff like that, it can stick. And it can hurt. Verse 15, right quick. We got a few more minutes. And your feet shod, Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, your feet are to be shod. What does that mean?
Your walk.
What did you say?
Covered.
Your walk. Listen, you ever try to go through the woods barefooted?
Yeah.
Okay. And if your feet's tough enough, you can.
Yeah. When you're
done. But go through a briar patch. Go through some hot coals that you throwed out in, after camping one time and you forgot about them. You know what I mean? What would you want on your feet? Shoes for protection, for stability. Okay? You have to understand that they're not like hush puppies. You know what I mean? They're not like jogging shoes. You play golf. There's people who play football. Okay? Do you have the special shoes, Dan? I can tell.
Yes,
I can tell you got your little glove and you wear your little golfer's cap and you got your little knickerbockers
actually,
on
no
and
cap.
You got your shoes and you got them shoes and what, black and white shoes, and you got little what's on them shoes, Dan?
Spikes. Yeah.
What is that for?
Better grip.
Okay. So you won't go what? Slipping, sliding around.
Right.
How well would I do hitting?
Get a little slippery and certain.
Yeah. So you know some golf courses are very particular about that, aren't they?
I'm going to play one next week.
Okay. And then they're like, hey man, you got to have the shoes. You know, you just can't walk in there with tennis shoes on or hush puppies. But you do it, slip around. They wear cleats on them. And if you think about it, the Roman soldier had shoes with cleats on the bottom of them, like nails stuck in the bottom of it. Oh yeah. You're not moving them. Let me tell you what. Outside of
sandals and movies.
Have you saw the bottom of them? No. Outside the Cleveland Browns, you think they wear cleats?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's Cleveland Browns.
What good would a defensive guy have with regular tennis shoes on? Listen, you know what Warrior Dash is? Those, you know, Spartan races and stuff like that. It's 3.5 miles of running through obstacles and stuff. Sherry can tell you a story about me wearing slick tennis shoes on a mud path. I fell twice in a row. You know? Because you know what? I took that path and it was muddy, slick. Now if I got up here on, you know, where it wasn't so muddy, it might not have been too bad. But I knew going in the shoes that I had on, because you donate the shoes afterwards. Or you use old shoes. But they Paul is saying this. To have your feet shod, meaning to get in a stance and have your feet nailed down. When all else to do is what? Stand. We talked about King of the Mountain last week. Listen, if you had something gripped in, it took a little while for you to knock me off. Eventually you would, because not only you going after me, somebody else is going after me. You want your life nailed down in the preparation of the gospel of peace, so you're not slipping and sliding around. And when Satan comes and attacks you and tries to intimidate you and tries to make you think God doesn't love you anymore. How many felt that in the past? Yeah, I ain't sold my house yet. God don't love me. I'm not doing something right. You know, I'm prepared to spend the money that I ain't got yet. That's why I'm on hold. You know, I think about that sometimes. Like, I got to get that. You know, you're like, it's silly, isn't it? But look, it'll sell one day.
Did you put your driveway in yet?
No, maybe I need to. I'm thinking about steps. I'm thinking about stairs. I don't know if I want to spend the money. But look, don't love you anymore. You want to have your life nailed down in the gospel of what? Peace. When Satan tries to convince you that God has forgotten about you and the heavens are brass and you walk by sight and you want your life to be nailed down in the gospel of what? Peace. You want to have your life nailed down in the demonstration of what God loved us for you. For God to love, no man, what was that? God commended his love towards us. What kind of love, what kind of demonstration did he do? Objective demonstration that he showed us that he loved us. How did he do that? Sent his son to die for us and you and I. God values and esteems for you is not to be tied to your bank account or tied to your love of your life or your job, or how people respond in the way you preach or teach. That's not what he's doing. It is tied to one thing. It's tied to the cross, guys. Of what he did, he demonstrated. And how God, he determined his love when Christ died and was buried and rose again. You want to have your life nailed down in that, so when the wind blows, and it's going to blow, and that cold blast comes, you know God still loves you. No matter what situation, health, finances, all that stuff, God still loves us. And that's what we need to think about. And when the father's blast comes and scourges you, and whatever comes, you're in the cleft of the rock. With me? You're right in the cleft. And why? And know God loves you. Isn't that comforting? To know, no matter what. And many of us have been through some storms. And we're going to continue to go through storms if the Lord tarries. It don't matter what the circumstances are. I know how much He values you and values me. And how much He esteems us. That's something to think about, isn't it? Notice right quick. Is your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel. It is not the proclamation. It's not proclaiming the gospel. It's what? But preparation. Evangelists would go out and say, yeah, you have your feet shod and you're ready to go out and witness. That type of thing. But that's not what the verse says. It's preparation, not proclamation. Okay? What does 2 Timothy tells us that? It is 2 Timothy that matters. It is to prepare wherever your feet takes you and you'll be able to stand in a demonstration of God's love, guys. It's protection for no matter where you go. Every step you and I take is stable because we know what God is doing of the gospel of peace. It's knowing that He esteems you in peace and passes all understanding. It's protection against Satan's attempts. The preparation prepares you against the attempts and the loot of the truth and all that stuff when people comes after you. You need to have that on your feet. It's preparation. You're going to be ready. You know what's coming. Now, we'll pick up some more next time, but the first three things that we talked about, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes are things you wear. You with me? You put on the girdle, you put on the breastplate, you put on the shoes, and you tie them onto yourself. You wear the first three. But the next ones we're going to look at, the shield of faith, the helm of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit are things you don't wear. They're not part of your dress. And we'll pick that up next time. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.